That today is a day that you're looking forward to. Today is a day that you're thinking about spiritual things. You're thinking about God. You're thinking about doing God's will. And you're thinking about serving Him in a greater way. How wonderful it is that we can do that. And we have. Today I want you to look at this. Isn't that a pretty picture? It looks better on the computer than it does up here. This bleaches that out a little bit. But it's got the brightest colors. And I really, really did like that. And I agonize over these things. Lynn says, don't worry about it. I said, it bothers me. Have you ever had a time when you just didn't, when your faith was really weak? When you just, you know, you were just so discouraged. Now, let me tell you something. If you are that way, I want you to know something. The rest of us are just like that. Sometimes we look around and we think, oh, that person is never discouraged. They're always happy. Their faith is always strong. No, it's not. They just present it that way. We all have times when our faith is weak. We all have times when our faith is strong. Just like our young man that's in the water up here. Anybody know what his name is? Peter? Thank you, Danny. You're the only one in here that knew that. Peter, he had been the one that had walked on the water. His faith was strong at that time. He believed in Jesus Christ and he was going to serve him. He was going to do his will. And he was doing great. But then his faith became weak. Let me tell you something. I don't care how strong you are, there are going to be times when your faith is going to be weak, and you're going to waver just a little bit. I'm not talking about going into sin. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about feeling like I'm here alone. I'm by myself. I don't have anybody to help me. What we've got to do is to realize God's always there with His people. He's always there. And we've got to recognize that. We all have times when our faith is not as strong as it needs to be. We all have times when things just don't seem to be going right and we're just falling down and don't know which way to go. The passage that was read in your hearing a while ago was a great one. It's talking about a fella that stood for God, but a fella that was also weak. I think of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians the 10th chapter and verse 12. He said there, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. What he's saying there is, what we need to do, you be careful. When you think you're so strong, that may be the time when you are the weakest. Paul went on to say that when I'm weak, and I know I'm weak, that's when I'm strongest in God. Why? Because then he depended upon God. That's what we've got to do. I don't care where you are, learn to depend upon God. Learn to trust in God. Learn to lean on God all the time and not on your own understanding or not on your own will, what you want and what you think is right. It's important that we realize that. We've got to be able to... I got to get this thing straightened out or I'm going to... Boy, that's going to be good on that tape. Those people are going to say, what is he doing with that thing? Fat people have to put their shirt in a lot. Did y'all know that? I just thought I'd tell you all that. Some of you skinny people don't know that. But here, and we're going to be looking basically at these two passages, 1 Kings 18 and 19, but really more at 19 because it shows this great prophet of God and his weakness that he had. Now, look at this. I want you to see the strengths of Elijah. Elijah was a prophet of God. He was a man who stood up for God's people. He was a man who went into the king and told the king. I mean, you know, it's a little lost there for us. We don't realize what it is to go into the king and tell the king something the king don't want to hear. Sometimes what the king would do is kill the person that brought the message. So here he goes into the king and he tells Ahab, it's not going to rain. You're not going to get any dew. Until God says it's time. He said, God tell me to speak it and I'll speak it. And then the rain will come. But until then, you're not going to get anything. Let me tell you something. It takes a great deal of faith and strength to go in and tell the king that. But not only that, we can see him as he goes up and he opposes the idol people. The people that worshiped idols. And he was basically the only one that was standing there against all those people. Some of God's people were kind of like today. We're not sure, we're sure, we're not sure, waving back and forth. But what he said is, listen, God's prophets, God's people are better. And we all know the story about the test that was given there. He said, you go build an altar and get all the people to come, and you put your offering there on the altar, and then you call on your God to consume it. This is chapter 18. You call on your God to consume that altar. And so here they built their altar. They had confidence, 450 prophets, and then 400 other prophets that they had there to another God that were there. So here they had confidence in their God. So here they start going around and they start doing their dancing and doing their hollering and hollering for their God to bring down the fire to consume this offering. And they did it all day long. Now Elijah, I really like him, because while these guys were doing all this hollering on their God and trying to get their God to come down, he was over there going, hey, maybe he's out to lunch. Maybe he went to the bathroom and he ain't got back yet. Y'all keep hollering. He'll be here in a little while. He was aggravating these guys. My kind of man. That God did not come. He told those people, clean the altar off. Clean the ground off there. They cleaned the ground off and he put up another altar with another sacrifice to God. And he said, dig a trench around it. He said, now pour water all over this offering. And they did, and the water ran down and filled up this trench all the way around it. All these people were looking. All these people were considering what was going to happen. And let me just read the words that he said. Very simple words. Very powerful words. Then he said, hear me, Lord, verse 37. Hear me that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have, you are the one that will hear the voice. Then the fire came down. This fire came down from heaven and it consumed the offering that was there. And then the fire started kind of licking up the dirt just a little bit. In fact, if you read this, it even got the rocks. And then you go on to read it, the flames came over and just licked the water up out of the trench that was there. Now the children of Israel, many of them were willing to say at that time, the people who believed in God, yes, we know who God is and we believe in God and we trust in God. Here is this prophet who's willing to do this. He's willing to challenge 450 prophets. He's willing to challenge the king. He's willing to challenge everybody, no matter who they are. If they are not going to stand for God, he's going to be in their face challenging them. Now it takes faith to do that. It takes courage to do that. Oh, what a great man he was. Then right after that, Jezebel, the king's wife, she gave a decree too. She said, you know what happened to those fellas? It's going to happen to you. You know what he did? This is something we've got to see too. We see his weakness. He'd done all these things before all these people, stood there before God and show the people who God was. He should have been a fellow at that time that had enough faith to keep standing and never, ever give up. But look what he does. When Jezebel gives her decree, he runs away. He runs to the mountains and he hides there because he's afraid there. In fact, what was read in your hearing while ago in 1 Kings 19, where he's willing to go there and he sits under this broom tree and he says, God, just kill me. I can't do it. I can't go anymore. I can't do this thing. It's just too much. Just kill me. Now, how do you go from standing on a mountain challenging the idol people and seeing what God can do over here to a person who's ready to die, who's ready to even ask God, just kill me because I can't go on? Let me tell you something. Be careful, because if you think you're strong, you may not be. There are challenges that come in every one of our lives. And we have to face those challenges. And it's not easy to do. There is not a person here today, there is not a person in the world today that has not faced challenges in their life. And if you haven't yet, you will. I know you have already, but there's still more coming. Don't worry about it. There's enough for everybody. And we're going to have to face those times when our faith may not be as strong as it needs to be. When our heart may not be drawn as close to God as we'd like for it to be. And so here we are. We're feeling lonely. We're feeling that there's no way. In fact, we may be even saying, God, just go ahead and take my life because there's nothing I can do about this. There's no way that I can keep going. I can't make it. I can't do it. I'm going to fall. I want you to see what God did. I want you to understand what God did here. God was one who was willing to say, I love you and I care for you and I want you to keep on going and don't stop. He was willing to help him to understand and he wants us to understand that. You're going to have times in your Christian life when you're going to be discouraged, when you're not going to know which way to go, when the weight of all the things that you've got on you are just going to weigh you down and you feel like there's no way out. Let me tell you something. God's still exactly where he was when you were feeling good. He's right with you if you want him there. Now, if you run away from him, he's still with you. He's still ready to forgive you. He's still ready to help you and do what you can. That's what we've got to understand. Now, we see his strengths. We see his weaknesses. We understand that we're the same way. We've got our strengths. We've got our weaknesses. We've got those things. But I want you to see this. Look at the cure for weakness. How do you overcome weakness? How do you overcome those times when you feel so discouraged and you feel so down and you feel like there's no sense in even going on? Have you ever uttered the words, I'm not going to go back to church again? Are you sitting in here and you think, I'm sitting in here with all these good people and I'm the worst person that ever was? No. You're not the worst person that ever was. By far you're not. Because if you're thinking that, you're still thinking about God. Now, how do you overcome this? How do you do this? Turn with me, if you would, to James 4, verse 7. And we're going to read a couple of verses there. And I want us to look at this. James 4, verse 7. James is one who's trying to help people. James, the book of James is such a practical book. I mean, I think it's a book we need to read more often. Because it helps us to see what a practical Christian life is all about. James says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now listen to this one. Draw near to God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now look at this. Here's God over here. Here's the devil over here. If we draw closer to God, aren't we getting farther away from the devil? That's what he's saying. He's saying in those times when you think the devil's got me, he's going to get me, you draw nearer to God and you're going to get away from him. That's what he wants us to understand. In these times when we're discouraged and we're down and things don't look like they're going good, or maybe it's just all the things in the world are laying on top of us, we need at that time to grow closer to God. We need to be going to God. We need to be praying to God. We need to be asking God to help us. And that's what James is saying here. He's saying, listen, if you feel like you're away from God, then go get back with him then. Draw near God. And the closer you get to God, the farther you're going to get to Satan. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What's the double mind? God, Satan, God, Satan, God, Satan. Make up your mind what you're going to do. Make up your mind as to which one you're going to serve. And say, listen, I'm going to serve God. Remember what Joshua said there when the children of Israel were ready to go into the promised land and Joshua was speaking to them and his final words to these people? He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. That man already made up his mind. He didn't ask, am I going to have to serve God? Am I not going to serve God? Do I have to get up and go to church? Do I not get up and go to church? That's already decided. We're going to serve God. That's it. Brethren, make up your minds you're going to serve God, and it makes your life a whole lot easier.
It takes away a lot of decisions you got to make. If I'm going to serve God, I'm going to be at worship service. If I'm going to serve God, I'm going to study His Word. If I'm going to serve God, then I'm going to try to keep my life pure. If I'm going to serve God, then I'm going to try to do what I need to do to be closer to God. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to stay over here wallowing around. I want us to see what God told him. I want us to see how God helped him to understand that. But let's finish this here. Verse 9, this is a passage that may be a little difficult. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and let your joy to gloom. What does he mean there? He's saying we live in a world and, boy, we're just happy. Everything's going good for us in the world. Everything's going fine. I don't have to worry about God. God's not on my side. I'm not on God's side. I like him okay, but I'm not really going to serve him that much. He's saying, listen, when you think you're so happy in the world, that's when you better start being sad. When things are just going so good in the world, you need to realize where's God at. And it can take that joy that we have in the world and it can turn to sadness because we know where we are before God. We know what we need to do to serve God. So here he's saying, let this joy you have, let this happiness you have, let it be turned to a mourning. I'm not near God. I need to be near God. I need to be serving God. I need to be doing God's will. That's what he's talking about there. Eliminate those things. Humble yourself in the sight of God and He will lift you up. Put yourself before God and say, God, here I am. I'm not much, but I'll give you all I got. I'll give you everything. And what does James say? God will lift you up. Oh, you're discouraged. Oh, you feel bad. Oh, things are going hard in your life. Okay, understand. All of us have been there. But let me tell you something. What we've got to do is to get up and get closer to God, and we'll get rid of that. You say, well, I read my Bible, and I don't feel any closer to God. Well, read it and do it. Reading it is not enough. Doing it. Put yourself wholeheartedly into doing God's will, no matter what it is. You go to every worship service you can. You go to every meeting you can. You study the Bible as much as you can. You try to pray as much as you can. If you can pray 24 hours a day, you do that. You think about God. You dream about God. You let God be on your mind. And let me tell you something. If you do that, you don't have time for all that other stuff. You draw yourself closer to God, and it will help you. He will help you to be able to do that. That's what God wants us to do. James is telling us exactly how to do that. Get closer to God. And if you get closer to God, it's going to help you. Now, another passage in James. Look at chapter 5 and verse 16. Chapter 5 and verse 16. We're going to read a couple of verses there. How we can draw nearer to God. Confess your sins to each other and pray one for the other. God can heal you. Let me tell you something. If you're feeling down and you're feeling like I can't go any farther in this Christian life, I've got so many things on you, you go find somebody and say, I want you to pray for me. When we extend the invitation today, you respond and say, listen, I want the whole church to pray for me. You don't have to respond. Just say, hey, I want the whole church to pray for me. We've got this formal way of coming up front and doing all that stuff. Let me tell you something. That's not in the Bible. Those people just said, I need you to pray for me. And usually, we understand the problems that you're facing. We may not. We didn't tell you to come forward and tell us all your troubles. To confess things that you don't want to talk about. We just said, listen, we want to pray for you and we'll pray for you. Ask us and we'll pray specifically for you. That's what James is trying to say. He's saying, listen, you go to other people and you confess your sins, you confess your problems, you confess your difficulties, and help them to pray for you because the prayers of a righteous man avails much. It helps us a great deal. When a believing person prays, great things happen. When a believing person prays, great things happen. Now, look at the example that James uses. Elijah prayed that it might not rain, and it didn't rain for 3 years. Now, I'm not saying you decide you don't want it to rain for 3 years. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying he's using Elijah as the example of someone who said, this is God's will. He stayed close to God. Well, I thought his faith was not as strong. Yeah, because some days it was strong and some days it was weak. He's a human just like you and me. Just like we are. And he's got the problems and the difficulties that he's got to face, and he's got to do it. He prayed for that. He prayed that it might not rain, and it didn't rain for 3 years. Now, look at this. The conclusion of all this. What we're trying to say here. We've got to be people that we draw closer to God. Elijah had his problems. Oh, he had his great days. Could you imagine the power he felt when he stood there and those 450 prophets said, whoa, we have messed up. Or the children of Israel seemed to scream out at that time, God is God. God is great. We serve the God of Israel. And when Elijah said, take those fellas down at the river and kill them all, 450 of them. Strength, power, might. But then he's sitting under a tree. And he's saying, God, just kill me. I can't go any farther. Do you see the extremes there? What does God do for him? God brings him in, and God tenderly helps him. He cares for him. He cares for him in such a great way. He draws close to him. And he's willing to help him and do what he can. Oh, yes, I can't go any farther, but God's there. And God's always there to help us. The Lord was patient, the Lord was loving, the Lord was kind, and the Lord helped him to know the right way to go. We could go on and on about this story, about how he was fed, other things about his life that God used to help him to go on. God does it himself, and God uses his people to do it. He uses his people to do the encouraging, the helping. Do you know somebody that's discouraged? Do you know somebody that's just loaded down with all the troubles and all the problems and all the difficulties in life? Go to them and say, listen, I'm praying for you. Hug their necks. Cry with them. Let them know you care for them. Let them know that they're not in this alone. At times like this, it's hard for us to see God. But we can see another person that is there in representation of God, encouraging, lifting up, and helping us to go on. We got to do that. And don't ever forget, God's on your side. Listen to this. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, in verse 13, and I'm persuaded that everybody could probably give us this one. I can do all things. How? Y'all say it. Through Christ who strengthens me. I can do what I need to do. I can do the things that are there because I am with Christ. I'm doing His will. I'm following Him. And I can do the things that are necessary. For me to accomplish, I can do that. I don't have to give up. I don't have to be discouraged. Because God is there with me. And listen to this one. My brethren are there with me too. Today, if you look at your life as a child of God and you see sin there and you want to repent of it, guarantee you the church will be praying for you. If you today are not a Christian and you want to become a child of God, we've done everything we can. The water's warm, the clothes are up there, everything. All you've got to do is to make your decision. And we will rejoice with you in that decision. We'll rejoice with you and we'll try to encourage you and help you and do what we can for you so that you can be a strong child of God. We'll do that. Now you tell me, what else is there to keep us from God? From doing the will of God? He will forgive you. He will forgive you. If you repent, I guarantee you, He'll forgive you of your sin. He's made that promise. Believe it. He will wash you and cleanse you of every sin you've ever committed in baptism. Every one of them. gone. That one simple act, not just the being immersed in water, but the act of following God's will. And God's will is that we be immersed in water. Please look at your life. Please consider your soul. Don't go away discouraged. Go away with your head high saying, I believe in God. I believe in Him more and more and more. And I'm going to serve Him in a greater way no matter what. And get away from the devil and get near God.